Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Because it's never really been about money for me, right? Because if it was about money, I would have made a lot better choices. You know?
You would have done some hella slime videos.
Oh, I would have fucking pranked a bunch of like old Asian ladies. I would have kicked them downstairs. I would have done a lot of crazy shit, dude. I'll see trends sometimes and I'll specifically choose not to do it. It's like, fuck that thing.
I'd be dead in 3 years.
Hello, welcome back to Shit They Don't Tell You. I am Nikki Limo.
And hello, my name is Steve Green.
And today we are joined by our lovely guest, one of our favorites, David.
A beautiful man.
Anthony So.
Anthony.
Yeah.
I wish.
What's your real name?
David Allen So.
It's my Korean name.
No.
What is it?
Well, if you translate it, it's in cook. But the funny shit is, in Vietnamese, uncook means eat shit. So that was great.
Damn.
And also, I was fat, so Fatso was another nickname. So that was fucking fantastic.
David eat shit
wow.
So.
Yeah.
I had to sit down with my parents and be like, you know, what the
Nikki
fuck?
Nikki was Limos Nero, which is beggar of money.
Yeah, in Spanish.
Really?
Yeah.
Yo, I found out so many interesting things about her on JK News about how many times she's almost been raped and kidnapped.
Oh my God.
You make poor life choices.
Okay, well, I don't know if they would have raped
they
me.
They would have raped the
Wait,
living
what's the rape part?
No, remember I told you how I almost got kidnapped?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That guy would have raped the living daylights out of you.
I don't know, maybe he would have sold me to somebody.
That's
to
true,
get
he
raped.
Could have sold
Oh, so
her.
Somebody else would have raped you then. Yeah. Either way, poor choices.
Could have passed you off.
Literally, guy buys her ice cream.
It didn't happen, David.
He bought you ice cream. That's the biggest oldest sign of kidnapping ever.
I was 17, and the minute he wanted me to go into a dark parking lot, I said no.
That was after he
Wait,
took you.
Wait, what happened again? I forgot the story.
So I was wandering in Hawaii, and I was 17, so I was like an older teenager, and I was like, here's some shit they don't tell you, or at least they didn't tell me. I was like, you know, an older teenager, and I was on a family vacation, so I was bored, you know, and they all wanted to stay at the hotel, and I was like, it's 9 o'clock. Like, I want to do something. It's also only like 6 o'clock back home or whatever. Maybe it's the other way around. But I was awake, and they were tired. And so I was asking if I could go walk around the street, and it's like a main street, brightly lit. It's where all the shops are. You know, we've been there in Oahu and Waikiki. And so I'm alone, and this dude starts talking to me, and he seems like kind of nice. He's an older dude. He's like late 30s, but I was just like down for an adventure.
Large, disgusting looking man.
You don't know.
What did he look like?
He was this
large
and
disgusting.
He was a big guy with a beard. Yeah.
Nice.
He was from Florida.
Okay.
But he just had kind eyes. Okay?
Oh my God.
Jesus.
Are you listening to this right? Kind eyes.
Yeah, it's rough.
Yeah, well, kind eyes, all right? And he just seemed like he meant no harm, you know? And so I was like, okay, cool, whatever. Like, I just wanted someone to talk to, and like we were just kind of like talking
about
how
a sex slave trader has kind eyes.
I don't know. he could have not been a sex slave trader.
That's called the bright
side. He could have not been one. But I just didn't want to take a chance.
The judge sentencing him is like, hey, you seem like a nice person, but you are going away for 30 years.
So he bought me ice cream and he bought me a necklace. Not like a fancy necklace, but like a souvenir, like Puka little sandal shit, necklace. Yeah. And I was like, that's cool.
She is a cheap date. I know that.
I said I didn't want it. And he's like, I insist. So whatever. And then towards the end of the night, we got to the end of the strip. And he's like, hey, my car's in this parking lot. Do you want to come walk me to my car? And I was like, no. It was the type of parking lot that's like cartoonishly dangerous.
Freaky. Yeah, where sure, like Ted Bundy.
Flickering lights
the one
and stuff.
Flickering little oh light dangling from the ceiling back
yeah,
and
yeah, swinging
forth.
Back and forth.
Yeah.
Well, the other thing is like he was a big black dude and I like picture like a crazy looking white dude that's gonna, like a Ted Bundy is like,
true.
That's who that's I picture stereotype. Yeah, is gonna like, yeah. You know, sell you in a sex labor. A big black dude, I he just was seemed nice. Like he was chill.
Yeah, he's just trying to, you know, help you get into a club.
Yeah, he just yeah. seemed chill and like, he had he was like old enough to have like a gray beard and he was ugh. He had this like southern twang and like it just seemed like he was just like a nice southern gentleman and then he asked me to go to a creepy parking lot and I was like no and he's like well I have more stuff for you in the car
oh my
and
god
I was like, ah!
Oh
my
he's god. Bad at pitching
yeah. I know he almost had it yep. and then he fucked it up right
yeah,
at the
yeah,
end
yeah yeah
more
then
stuff
the,
for you what does that even mean
all the alarm bells went off because he bought me a couple gifts you know ice cream and a necklace and he's like oh I have something for you in the car too that I think yeah. you'd really like
fucked up
and
gotta
I was
be more
like,
specific bro
anyway, today we want to talk about, because a lot of times on Shit They Don't Tell You, we talk about the philosophy of going after what you want in life, not settling, going for
that.
Your dreams.
No.
Settle always.
But we don't talk about what happens if you actually achieve those dreams. I think mostly because we haven't actually done that.
So, what the fuck are you talking about?
What? You married
you
a stallion.
Wait,
my
story?
No, you have. Okay, sorry. I have not actually achieved any of my dreams like in that capacity of... Excuse me.
No, but you do that. You do that, though.
Don't
bring me down with
podcast.
You, trash.
It's yeah. I'm sorry. I said we as a, you know, like an entity, but I'm talking about me.
I've achieved a lot. You on the other
hand.
I'm
not in the achievement gutter.
I'm sorry. I'm the only loser that hasn't achieved my dreams yet, my ultimate fucking dream.
Should rewind that and see his okay. face. He's like,
what? I know. Like, he got very offended. Go on, Steve.
Yeah, so I did, I've done films.
Cool, you're not the guest today.
Thank notice, you. Plural.
Yeah.
Films.
Thank
films.
You.
Hmm.
I wish I could drop a 30-pound microphone on your head right now.
Yep. Yeah, like I need it. After not saying true, that you're true. Much more true. Successful than me. Great. Cool. No, I love it. Why don't you take over?
Okay, so, David, as two people who have accomplished our dreams, really Nikki shouldn't
talk
during this episode.
Wait, do you not know my story? I haven't accomplished shit.
Yeah, no, we know.
Yeah, but you just said we.
Oh, sorry. Since you and I, David, have accomplished our dreams, isn't it a little bit depressing once you get there? Because you're like, man, I did everything.
Oh, yeah. And this is not to sound like I'm stunting or anything like that, but when I created that film with my buddy Justin, I didn't expect to get into Sundance.
The film Goop, by the way. You should watch it.
Yeah, nobody thinks that, your first go is going to go into Sundance. I'm just thinking this is going to be... baby steps. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to learn a lot from this and I'm going to try to tackle it the year after
it's a great mentality to have.
Yeah, until it happens. And when it happened, I didn't really prepare for it to be picked up. I didn't prepare for it to be sold. I didn't expect to go to theaters. And I didn't expect to go to Netflix. Yep. So a lot of these things were being checked off without me knowing it was going to happen.
Mm.
And mind you, while it's happening, it's great, right? And then I think a lot of people ask me, well, why don't you go into acting too? Don't you want to be an actor? I'm like, oh shit, maybe. Maybe I do want to be an actor. Turns out I don't. So, I think I like creating. And I'm not saying that I'm going away from acting. I don't think it's something that I'm going to dedicate my whole life to. Mm-hmm. So, after that happened, I kind of sat around and I was like, okay, well, what next?
Yes. No,
I didn't think about the after part. So, you're kind of caught up in this whole, people want you to kind of swim in your own success. So, you kind of, you just pat yourself on the back a bit. But after you're done doing that, then they go, okay, now time to go back to YouTube.
Yeah, dude, it's tough, right?
And not to knock YouTube. I love YouTube.
It was
YouTube's,
just like that was the stepping stone before.
Yeah, but then it goes, hey, go movie. Back.
Right.
And then I'm sitting there and I'm trying to write these sketches or these vlogs or whatever it is and put it on my channel. And I just couldn't pick up that pen. And I just sat there looking like in my room, just depressed out of my mind. I don't want to say depressed. I mean, it's just sad. I was stagnant. Just stagnant.
I know exactly how that feels.
It was
like
the feeling
saying?
Of going backwards.
Yeah, and I was backwards, and I'm trying to write this stuff to go on a platform that's going to last for what? Maybe like 100,000 views, and people will laugh at it for a week, and then it goes away.
And then you need something else.
And then I need to do something else. Exactly. But with the film, people remember it for the rest of their lives. And so I'm thinking like, okay, do I want to create another little 5-minute short? What's that going to do for me? Because it's never really been about money for me, right? Because if it was about money, I would have made a lot better choices. You know?
You would have done some hella slime videos.
Oh, I would have fucking pranked a bunch of like old Asian ladies. I would have kicked them downstairs. I would have done a lot of crazy shit, dude.
Dude, some of our friends that switched to doing kids content are killing it.
They are murdering
They're making
it.
So much money. Yeah. And they're like, you should just do kids content. I'm like, I can't.
I'm like, I'll kill myself.
I can't do it.
Yeah. That's not even a joke.
But I'm not judging them.
No,
I'm
not
like,
judging
good,
them.
Good
it's
for
about
you.
Me. It's about
but
me.
But I'm like, oh, God, I wish I could. I just can't do it for the money.
I look at like content like that too, and I could say as much as I want, oh, I bet you I can do that. I can't. I really can't. I really can't. I think conceptually speaking, we can do it, but I personally
your soul can't do it.
I cannot fucking Same. Do it. I'll see trends sometimes, and I'll specifically choose not to do it. It's like, fuck that thing.
I'd be dead in 3 years.
Is that why it took you? Is that why it took you so long to start a podcast, which you have now started?
Yo. To be honest with you, yes. Just because,
yeah.
Because people told me, oh, you'd be great in the podcast space. I'm like,
you're like fuck you.
You don't fucking
know
tell me.
Me
what I'll be good at.
Wow, you guys are so similar.
Yeah, we are. Yeah. No, and then David rips out his whole old channel and replaces it all with his podcast.
Yeah.
And then the competitive side comes out. I'm like, fuck these other podcasts. Yep. Yeah, but it was so weird because I looked at my channel and I said, if you don't want to create these short films and all you want to do is create film and do other stuff, then you should do something with this channel. And essentially, the vlogs, the quote unquote vlogs that I created was just me screaming at people and saying things anyways.
Yeah. So, I felt very lectured.
Yeah. So you do that 5-minute video and then just turn it into an hour with a guest. So, you know, I was like, I guess essentially what you were doing were vlogs, but you weren't really explaining what your thought process. And after a while, I started looking at my videos. I'm like, ooh, you're so annoying, dude.
You know, I love when that happens.
I think
man.
We all do that. Yeah. We all look at our old videos. Yeah.
Like, why are you screaming so much, you fucking loser?
Yeah.
And what happens is, too, I think like, a lot of people on this space, specifically like YouTube, not the podcast space, but YouTube, people take things to heart too quick.
Yeah.
You know, and so they're only seeing a small excerpt of what I'm saying, and I'm trying to make it funny.
Yeah, exactly. You cut out all the justification part because you're just like, let's just get to the point.
Yeah.
But then they react to that, and you're like, oh, I wish I could just explain it.
Yeah, and people will be on the podcast like, oh, you actually explain yourself really well. I'm like, well, what the fuck did you expect? It was 5 minutes.
It's because when we're on JK News, we're doing bits, and they don't understand that there's context to everything, but we don't care about the context. We're just trying to be as entertaining as possible in a short period of time.
Dude, it's so funny when people say stuff like, dude, in this last video, your story, you changed like 3 different words. And it was I was like, yeah, because number one, I'm not going to use real names of people, you fuck nut. You know what I mean? Like, what's wrong with you? Yeah. And also, I don't give a fuck. Right. You know, they're like, oh, you're a hypocrite.
It's
I'm
just
the
a
biggest
story.
Hypocrite ever.
Dude, we all are. I mean, yeah. but I've told so many stories too where it's like, my brother's in the Air Force, and then my brother's also an air traffic controller. Mm-hmm. And then people are like, wait a minute. I thought your brother does air traffic control, but now you're saying he does like intelligence? And I was like, I have two brothers. You fucking idiots. They're both in the Air Force. Jesus. But these people are like, it's sort of like radio call-in people. People who call into the radio show and actually ask a question, I think are the stupidest people on the planet.
I've done both of those things. I comment on YouTube videos, and I've also called into radio shows and won quite a bit of prizes. In my hometown of Santa Barbara, I think because so few people call in, I won so much shit. I got
really?
Yeah, I got CDs, back when like CDs were what you listen to. And I won a trip to New York once.
What?
I won backstage passes. Passes at concerts.
And you got kidnapped there too?
No. Dude, that's why I'm scared to have a kid though, because of all the poor choices I've made that I got lucky with.
I want a flat-chested, ugly girl, dude. Right. That's what I want her to be hideous.
I'm like, wait, her teeth came out straight. Let's go to the dentist and fuck them up.
You know
but
what,
then
though?
She might struggle with depression.
I don't want
her
to be too ugly because I don't want her to compensate by sucking dick. I want her to be like in that weird medium of like she's confident but not too attractive. So she
like her confidence is what makes her attractive.
Yes.
But then how do you deal with the daddy issues thing? Because that makes her want to suck dick too.
Oh, that's right, huh? Maybe I should. I'll disappear on purpose.
Yeah, right.
I still love you, but I gotta leave. You little shit. Yeah, but I was trying to work with that, and then after like sitting there and kind of like wallowing in my own filth, I was getting fatter and fatter and fatter too.
Aww.
I was like, so I gained like 30 pounds for the film, and then I was floating at like 240 or
it was
like
a character choice.
Yeah, so because Justin's a very skinny guy, and he's supposed to be this older brother figure in that film. And I was powerlifting with Bart at the time too. So how does it make sense that I'm scared of this tiny little Asian dude? So I fluffed myself up a little bit, a lot of it, 30 pounds.
Yeah.
And I told myself, psh, I'm going to lose that weight instantly.
Mm-hmm.
Did not happen. Solid year of being like 260, 270 pounds.
Wow.
And then I just progressively just got fatter. And I was like, okay, well, you know, if you're kind of like in this funk, let's just try to fix things that you can fix immediately. Mm-hmm. The first thing was my weight. And so I started to work on that. And then I just said, okay, after that was knocked down, I was like, we'll figure out what you want to do. And the podcast popped up. Then we had the food businesses and stuff like that. So it's kind of hard. Like you just, nobody ever tells you about what to do after.
Mm-mm.
You know, you really do have to prepare for that. And it sounds so ridiculous, but I was listening to this podcast with this guy named Dominic Cruz. He was a UFC bantamweight champion, right? And he also didn't think about his success afterward after he got that belt. And he went through like a suicidal stage because he goes, oh shit, I was this kid who had no fucking money. I was broke as fuck. I didn't expect myself to be a fucking world champion in a sport like the UFC. He got the belt and he was like, I got nothing to live for.
Eminem raps about it all the time.
Fucking Nicki.
Yeah.
Bring up Eminem one more time.
He did not
time,
think
please.
He was going to be all successful. He was like, if I had $1 million, I'd make the world suck my dick without a condom on while I'm on the jaunt. Yeah. And now he has well over $1 million. I've never sucked his dick without a condom on while he's
Botox,
on the jaunt.
By the way, I saw his face. It looks smooth as fuck.
Dude, yeah, he's kind of open about that. He's like kind of protective about his image. Like he got really sad when he got fat too.
He got fat?
Yeah, he got fat for a while, and he was like, I can't stand what I look like in the mirror. I look fat. That's a line from a song.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
And he punches the mirror. Yes,
doesn't
it
sound
is.
Good.
It is a well-known
what,
song.
What was that song called?
I'm Not Afraid.
Oh, that's that was a terrible song.
I'm not afraid. Anyway.
That was one of his worst songs
so
ever,
I
by the way.
I relate through Eminem.
You're committing blasphemy right now.
That song was hot trash.
Wow, get out
so
of here,
so you're
David.
Wallowing. You're sitting there wallowing before you do the podcast, before you do the businesses.
Yeah.
What's that like?
You just kind of – you know what? It's a lot of like second guessing everything that I'm doing. I'm like, oh, shit. Like am I done? Like am I tapped? Like can I not write anything anymore?
Do you feel like you couldn't top yourself?
I just
– like it couldn't go up?
You know what it felt like? Like it felt like kind of getting into Sundance and even winning that award for the film felt like, it felt so fucking good. I was wondering, like, am I going to feel that way again about doing this other shit? I don't think so.
Yeah.
You know, so if you don't have a goal to look forward to, because I'm very goal-oriented in that kind of sense,
mm-hmm.
like, if I have nothing to look forward to in that area, then what the fuck is the whole point?
Right.
So maybe I should think about doing something else. Maybe I shouldn't even do, like, YouTube anymore. You know, or anything entertainment wise, maybe I'm done with that. So that's why I tried the whole acting thing. And then I found out with acting, I didn't really like it as much because I hate being somebody's bitch.
Mm.
And as an actor, I don't give a fuck what anybody says. And I know there's a lot of like interviews with actors where they talk, the art and the craft and where you get to, you're a little bitch for the, you're a fucking bitch to the umpteenth degree until
like
you're
product.
Somebody.
Yeah.
Until you're
sure.
somebody with the name, you are everybody's bitch.
Yep.
You are the casting director's bitch. Then you're the casting director's bitch. Then you're the producer's bitch. Then you're the director's bitch. And then you're the studio's bitch.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, when you become Denzel, you stop being a bitch.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's kind of like this weird space where I was so used to creating things too that when I went into acting to think that I could dump everything that I could into it, I found out that I don't really like auditioning.
I hate auditioning.
Oh, it's terrible, man.
I hate it. I tell Aventa Steve all the time because I love acting, like love it. But me on acting on set and me acting in an audition is like night and day because an audition is nothing like being on set. And so I'm like, it's not acting to me. Mm. I think some people are really, really good at auditioning and suck at acting. And that's why you see so many like terrible actors on TVs and on TV. And then there's vice versa who you don't even know about really because they never booked the role because they're not good at auditioning. But it's a completely different beast.
But how is anybody supposed to know who's good if they don't audition?
Because
it's a catch 22.
Yeah. Mm. Well, that's why I like the creating your own projects thing. Because if you can write a script or even buy a script that has a character that you think you could play really well and then you produce your own content, then bam, then you can show people that you know what to do.
Yo, and to that too, it's like even if you do create your own stuff, like I'm going in audition to this fucking role that has two fucking lines in it. I fucking wrote and made a film. film.
Right.
Yeah.
What do you it's need tough. To see, you son of a bitch? Like, it's just, it's like, I remember, well, I had to tell my agent, like, I'm not going for these roles with two lines, and I'm not driving all the way to Santa Monica to say, here's your order, sir.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
If they don't know that I can't do this line when I look like a Chinese takeout guy,
yeah,
you pretty much have no faith in me whatsoever.
Yeah, it's an outdated system for sure. Like, because even well-known actors have to audition still. Like, even if you've been a series regular on TV for years, like, you still have to audition.
Dude, even Martin Scorsese has problems funding his own shit.
That's so fucking crazy.
It's crazy.
Says a lot, you know?
But that's what kind of changed my mind and gave me a new perspective on YouTube and like being a creator is that like, hey, why don't, like Stepping Stones, like you said, because I hate auditioning so much, like why don't I just create my own show and just act in it and like just have fun and like do things that make me happy. And then if it gets picked up, then cool.
I didn't have to be happy doing what I do as a job. Because I know a lot of my friends that don't give a fuck about their jobs. They kill it and they just have their fun outside of their job, right? But I think I give too many fucks about my career.
Too.
And it's annoying sometimes because some people don't understand when I tell them like, yo, I wish I could just work a regular 9-to-5. I'm not telling you that because I'm sorry for you.
Yeah.
I'm saying that you have this ability to flip a switch and truck through something every day. I don't have that shit. I can't even show up on JK News on time. I've been on it for 7 years. 7 years I can't show up on time. You know what I mean? I just like to mix it up. You know? I don't have to.
Wow, you guys are so similar. You guys are so similar.
That's why we hit it off.
I know. Yeah. We mix it up for no fucking reason. Yeah. There's no purpose.
Mm-hmm.
I just like to do it, baby.
He just likes to be late.
I'm going to be late. Why not?
I feel the same way. I feel like I wish that my career didn't have to be my livelihood, but for me it does. It's very connected, and it's where I derive my happiness or unhappiness from. I wish it wasn't that way, but it really can make or break my day. And I just have a problem with, like you said, like being a bitch, like where I don't like people. I don't like to not be the boss.
Dude, sometimes when I go into an audition, I feel like I give off this energy of like, who the fuck are you to judge me?
You probably do, man. David.
I feel like I walk in and I'm like, I'm auditioning you, you fucking cuntbag.
Right, dude.
And I don't know if that's probably why I haven't booked shit.
Well, it's because you've produced your own shit, though.
Yeah.
Like, that's the tough thing is when you've done your own things and then you go into somebody else's thing, it's tough to not be like, I want to run this thing, too.
Yeah.
It's just completely different.
I think the hardest thing, too, is when I have to read a script and I hate everything about it.
Mm. Me too, all the time.
And then I still have to go into this audition.
You don't have to.
I know I don't have to, but you know, that first year like, they were telling me I had to do everything. And then now I got to a point where I just don't want to.
Or how about when they give you sides and they're like, here you go. And it doesn't make any fucking sense. The context is not there. So you're like, this, I don't even understand what they're going for. And I'm supposed to audition for this part.
Well, that's because, the only time they would only give you sides is if it was already an episodic that's on air that you can watch episodes of already. So you know the context of all the characters. If it's a pilot, they have to give you a script.
Dude, I got some auditions that cracked me the fuck up. So this is during the time where I was still fucking huge. I got an audition for this. It's not Teen Wolf, but some shit like that. And I was supposed to play the role
of Wolf
of a 20-year-old buff, young, debonair wolf. And I got this and I just started laughing.
Of course.
I was like, what wolf looks like me? I was 270 pounds. Wow. My acne was crazy, just greasy as fuck. And I'm reading these lines and I'm supposed to play like this young 20s guy that's sitting across from his young lover. And I'm begging her to stay, that I love her so much. What? Like, are you kidding me right now? And I'm supposed to say these lines like, I'll do anything for you. I swear.
Maybe you had a really young buff headshot. Did you have a young buff
Absolutely
headshot?
Not.
Maybe they're fucking playing a prank on you.
I know.
It's like I just wanted to let you know, Carol, I love you so much. Woof woof. Yeah. And they're like, can you actually just bark, please?
Yeah.
You don't know.
I'm like in this audition, like, you guys got me
you
so
got
good,
me good,
you stupid sons of bitches. And I'm just like, definitely I'm not supposed to play this role. And the person that got it looks like he should have had it.
Yeah.
For sure.
Exactly.
Like a Zac Efron cast.
I feel like they have like a like a quota. They have to bring in a certain amount of people or something, you know?
You know what people don't even know? Like when they cast these shows, they already have their deck of people that they want to take these roles. And so when people audition for these roles, they're already backup plan C.
Yeah, they're like auditioning to be in the deck.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
And that's why they have the your callbacks.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
They're not doing it, so maybe they can't do this line. They're like, well, let's have them audition again so we weed these people out just because we'll see if plan B is going
to
work.
Yeah. Well, they're like, Norman Reedus just said no, so we can go to the deck now.
Yep.
Like, that's the shit they do all the time.
And it's kind of obnoxious.
Like, it is because you're not getting paid for any of the auditions. It interrupts my whole day because if I had a production scheduled, like if I'm trying to stay on schedule with YouTube videos or whatever, if I'm on JK Party that day and I have to cancel for the audition, and then I have to drive across town to say the two lines like you were talking about, and then I know that there's like, they already like kind of like have people that they want.
There's a 0.1% chance you even get it.
And I 100%
know
that.
And then they put you on hold or on a veil if you get it, but then you didn't get it yet. And then they can still say no to you. It's like, shit. You can even still shoot something. Then they go reshoot it without you.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just fucking crazy, man.
Yeah. Well, Back to the Future, you know, Michael J. Fox, they shot like almost the full movie with another dude.
What?
Eric Stoltz, yeah.
And very famous story. You would never know him because...
Dude, there's some sad stories. Like, I read up about... the first episode of Friends, there was a girl who played one of the main characters' ex-wife that turned out to be a lesbian. Her name was Carol.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So that girl, I went back and I was watching the show again. In the second episode, the girl changed. I was like, wait, there was a different girl in the first episode.
Mm-hmm.
So I looked her up. It turns out she decided to leave that show because the role wasn't big enough for her. And so she went on to audition for another show, and she got the role as a lead. Great. Show got canceled after a few episodes. And consistently after that, she booked roles to be a lead in other sitcoms like 3 or 4 times, all tanked.
Oh.
All fucking tanked.
So she gave up that Friends money?
Exactly. So that show is still spinning to this day, and Carol has to be in at least like fucking like 40 episodes or something.
Oh my God.
Every Friends
Those
cast
residuals.
Members. In 2018, they put out a sheet of how much they made. They said it was $20 million a year. Till this day.
Holy oh my shit. God.
From residuals, each cast member.
Oh. Holy shit.
20
Why
million.
Does Joey even need to work? What the fuck is he doing on TV still? He's not like Man at Work or some shit, or Man's fucking point of view.
Maybe he just likes acting, Steve.
No, but what? He loves the role? What the fuck is he making, dude?
$20 million? You better just make your own shit at this point, because you can.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, I wish that, like, just... I don't care what show I get on, because after that, having that amount of money, you could just make whatever you want.
But everyone wants to use other people's money to make whatever they want.
I know. That's
noticed.
True. I mean...
Like, Scorsese doesn't front his own shit.
That's I know, true. But, like, that's why... I don't know. But then you give up creativity is all.
Yeah.
If you want to be in creative control, you kind of, like, have to invest some of your own money.
Because even, like, $20 million, right? Well, you could do anything and everything. You could shoot fucking a bajillion pilots.
Yes.
Write it out. And then one of them will get picked up. You're fucking Joey from Friends. Somebody's going to pick that shit up.
As long as you're not an idiot and you're like doing Game of Thrones scale shit, you know, you can probably make anything.
Isn't that like the most expensive show
ever? Yeah, I think it's like $30 million an episode or some shit.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Even if you wanted to use other people's income, you could just take that $20 million, put it into like a high yield investment account.
There you go.
Just fund it with the interest. And then you're good. You're not even using your money.
It. Look at that. You're responsible.
She
as
is.
Fuck.
She knows the shit.
That is fucking responsible as shit.
It came from years of almost being kidnapped. I'm a very responsible person.
Dude, I look at some people with like an absorbent amount of money, and I'm like, dude, they always say the same shit. He's like, I don't really feel bad for me. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm like, you shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
I know exactly what I would do.
Yeah, me too.
I could plan my whole life
out
right now.
That, you know what? It's so funny you say that, because creatively for me, everything that I want to do right now creatively is at a scale that I can't afford yet.
Yeah, it's so funny. When I used to shoot sketches with this dude named Daniel, right? He goes, hey, what do you want to change in the script? Like, because it doesn't seem like you're really happy with it. I was like, you know what it needs? Money.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Right.
It needs money.
People always tell me, like, bring back real life showing, all this shit. And I'm like, dude, you have no idea how much it used to cost me to make that shit. And then now with YouTube, I can't even monetize that shit really. So I would need to have the budget to do exactly what I want to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People say things really easy, and you should go back to sketches. Oh, are you going to pay for that?
Right.
Because that shit's fucking expensive.
You set the bar too high.
Yeah.
This is a thing. I used to think, because I started YouTube doing sketches on other people's channels, and they had like all kinds of really fancy equipment, I didn't think I could do my own YouTube channel because it would have to be sketches. I had no idea that vlogs could be fun or to make or like cool. Like, I'd be cool with it because I'd always just done acting. And so that's what took me forever, because people were like, you should upload on your channel. I'm like, I can't. I don't know. I don't have the resources to upload on my channel.
And I'm so fucking dumb sometimes, because I started doing stuff to the point, I'm a very spiteful human being. So
really?
Oh, me too.
Wait,
it fuels me, David. It gives me purpose, David.
So I started doing shit like, you know, like these mukbangs were really popular, yeah. right? And it's a very easy format. You just eat and you talk. I'm like, cool.
We've done a few.
Yeah. yeah. And, right? It's mukbangs. A really cool format. And I'm like, well, fuck those things. I'm going to set up three fucking cameras. I'm going to light this bitch up. I'm going to feature three different restaurants and I'm going to eat that shit all in one day. I burnt out in a month.
Yeah, of course. Holy fuck.
Yeah. So it was an ordeal, dude.
That's funny, man.
I was like, dude, I'm going to shoot this all flat. I'm going to recolor everything.
We were just talking about that.
He's like, I'm doing mukbang the movie. You'll yeah. see.
I don't gotta do it.
And I went back and I looked at it. And I was like, dude, you are so fucking dumb.
The people that are big in mukbangs, they just record on their iPhones. If like, that. It's not even.
Oh my God, like webcams.
Yeah, yeah. Like, what did it do? It cost me more money than I made from it. Like, yeah. what did I do? Yeah. You know, but it just, I gotta be satisfied.
Like,
yeah,
even,
yeah.
even like you said, too, like, you get three different restaurants and shit. I'm like, dude, half of these things are IHOP and Taco Bell. Yeah. Like, what the fuck? I love it.
I'm looking for the, it was like, I did something called top three. So it was the top three best sandwiches in LA, from my opinion.
Mm. Oh.
And it's expensive.
Yeah.
It's so expensive.
Yeah.
You know what it is? Is people just want to see like the shit that you're talking about, IHOP and stuff, because it's mostly like people that are on restrictive diets
yep.
and they just want to see someone enjoying themselves and eating like whatever the fuck they want
to
eat.
What they wanted to eat.
Oh,
is the yeah. top three sandwiches in LA, they're like, I don't know
they're
what
like,
that
I can't
is. I've never
that.
Had that before.
Yeah. Oh.
I want to eat Taco Bell right now, but I'm not allowed.
I want to eat 50 pizzas and I can't eat 50 pizzas because yeah. my doctor said that my diabetes will spike, you know.
Dude, no matter how much weight I've lost, like I'm still, dude, she fucking burned my ass on JK News today. That shit was so fucking funny. That shit like, made me laugh.
Let's
so
get
hard.
Her back
like,
right now. What do you want to do?
Let's get her back, dude. But she burned me so bad, I had nothing to say. I was like, fuck, that shit was good. And I just let it sink in because we were talking about what's your favorite snack. And I was like, is ice
cream?
We're
like Doritos, you know, chips. And he goes, is ice cream a snack? And I was like, that was such a fat kid thing to say. I was like, is butter a snack? And I was like,
he was dang.
Like, I was like, damn, that shit was
that's
good.
That's pretty good.
I should let that sink in for a second.
Yeah. I was like, you have to sit there. I wish you could hold up a mirror and look at yourself at that moment.
Yeah. You stupid fat fuck.
Damn.
And I would have sang their Eminem song and I would have punched the mirror.
Yep.
See,
well, we are going on break right now, but when we come back, we're going to talk about David's fat
journey.
Times and his journey to Road to Redemption and back to creativity.
Back to hell.
When we return.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
Hey, thanks for listening to our podcast. We just want to take a break to tell you to, like, thanks for listening to our podcast. And if you want to rate it, that would be really awesome for us.
Like, listen, we're on break. We're not talking to you like podcast hosts right now. We're just talking to you like people.
As a friend.
And we just want to say, please rate the show because it helps out huge amounts.
Like, we're not desperate. We're, like, kind of desperate.
We're giving shout outs right now to all the people who are giving it ratings. So huge shout out right now to Brian Jorgensen. That was sick of you, dude. Thank you. God bless. Huge shout out right now to Mark W. in Springfield, Connecticut.
Back to our podcast.
Jenny Blake.
Hey, back to our podcast.
In Tuscany,
and
Florida.
Back to our podcast.
God bless you. Thank you.
Steven.
Thank you for supporting the show. So you are looking for somewhere to eat. Well, have I got a place for you. It's Applebee's, the one on La Cienega. This is not an ad for Applebee's in general. This is just for the one on La Cienega and Melrose. I tell you what, this one in particular, guys, when you walk through the door, they got a Street Fighter II cabinet, arcade cabinet you can play. It's pretty sticky, but you
the
can...
cabinet?
Yeah, they call them arcade cabinets, and that's what the copy says. And yeah, you can check that out and play with Blanca. You can play as Ryu. You can play as Ken. You can play as all the favorite Dalsim and all the favorite characters. They just wanted to announce that they just got this Street Fighter II cabinet. And they
Applebee's?
Are very stoked about it. Yeah, the Applebee's on La Cienega and Melrose.
I don't even particular. Think there's an Applebee's there.
There is, actually.
There's not. That's where the Beverly Center is. Well, yeah.
Well, that's not what I have on the info. So hopefully they gave it to us right. But anyway, they just wanted to let you know that they do have a new, well, it's an old Street Fighter II cabinet, but they didn't have it before and they have it now.
Well, sick. I didn't know there was an Applebee's there.
It's pretty sick, yeah.
All right. Well, welcome back. David.
Are those actual ads? Are you fucking around?
No,
right?
Really, man.
Applebee's on
this manager, he wanted to get a plug on the show. And he was like, how do I reach your guys' audience? Because like we have like an audience of like adults. Mm-hmm. And we told them they love gaming, like older gaming. And so he bought a Street Fighter II cabinet for that Applebee's.
For the spot.
Applebee's hit me up. I actually love Applebee's.
See, there you go.
Applebee's.
Sizzlers and Applebee's.
Me too. I love the Sizzler, bro. And Chili's, man.
Soft serve there.
Chili's, I could fuck up a Chili's.
It's weird because I feel like there's a lot of like food snobs out there, right?
Oh, yeah.
So when they kind of eat amazing food, they're like, oh, I don't eat that stuff anymore. I'm like, you trash bag. You would so eat that stuff, you fucking piece of shit. Like, you definitely wouldn't eat. You can't eat a burger?
No.
It's a right. burger. You know what I mean? Like, they somehow elevate themselves past the food they ate when they were a kid?
Yeah.
No way.
I like the people who are like, I only eat In-N-Out burgers. Oh my God. I'm like, you're fucking boring, dude. You know how boring you are to hang out with and to talk to?
Like, I've never been, like, let's say on set, and then somebody, they have, like, Burger King fries or some shit. I'm like, oh, God. No, I'm taking that home with me, and I'll fucking refry it.
The only fries that I'm too good for are In-N-Out fries.
Those are like a 50-50 thing for a lot of people, right? Because some people fuck with them. Some people don't.
I hate them.
Yeah, see? I hate them.
We hate them.
When I was a kid.
That's how you know that's your marriage partner.
So when I was younger, I didn't like them as much. I like them now.
Why?
Let me tell you something.
You got boring.
Yeah, it's because you got boring.
No, it's because well, I kind of put the cheese and the grilled onions and everything over it.
Okay,
so maybe it's a little
dude, animal style. Come on, that doesn't count.
You're not tasting the
you're
fries.
You're trying to cover up the
those
taste of the fries.
Those trash fries. They taste like just raw potatoes.
They just taste like
they're
air.
Cooked. You sons of bitches.
I don't care. Cooked in fucking invisible air.
We unite over our hate of In-N-Out French fries.
Remember when she hasn't done anything in her life? Remember that?
Let's
go back to that.
That's hella true.
Which fries do you guys like?
I don't eat ice cream for a snack. You're right. I haven't done any of
what,
that.
Am I fat? No. What fries do you like then?
We were talking about how I love Jack in the Box fries.
Yeah, Jack in the Box fries.
They're like crisp cut fries. I like
OG
their curly
McDonald's
fries.
OG McDonald's fries.
OG McDonald's.
But not the new
one,
ones where they're like ones. Morgan Spurlock shit on them and then they're like, we're going to go really healthy on everything and like
they're
we're using vegetable
healthy.
Oil
and,
now
no,
on these things and
don't.
I'm like, whatever.
They don't. They use beef oil.
Well, whatever they used to use pig ears or something. It was great. And now they
don't. I
don't
know what they use, but it used to be really delectable, and now it's not. But, yeah, I also love the Habit. Not necessarily their french fries, although I do like their french fries because they're usually mushy, and I like mushy fries.
You like mushy
I
fries?
Love
no,
mushy
I don't like
fries.
Mushy fries.
And they're like mushy, thick fries, but they're...
Wait, what? Why?
Because I don't, it tastes like mashed potatoes
apparently
inside of a fry.
She's never had crispy fries before.
Okay.
No.
Well, yeah. They taste like, you know what tastes like mashed potatoes too? Mashed potatoes.
I like crispy fries.
But they're not fried on the outside. I like a mashed potato fried on the outside.
I thought about it.
He likes mushy fries. He's just trying to please you.
No. The curly fries are
front in front of David.
What the fuck are you absolutely talking about? The curly fries texture is the best fry, period.
I didn't argue with that.
I'm not going to not eat a fucking fry because it's mushy.
I named that first. True. What curly fry is hard? Shut up. Shut the fuck up.
What are you talking about?
What I'm talking about, there's no crispy.
Jack in the Box curly fries. Look it up. Google it.
Yeah, and guess what? They're all soft, idiot.
No, they're not. You fucking idiot. Are you kidding me, bro?
Idiot.
Are you actually kidding me, bro?
We need a fucking fry expert in here right now, dude.
David.
Jack in the Box seasoned curly fries.
They know what you're talking about.
The season one.
Talking louder doesn't make it more crispy, you fucking asshole.
They are crispy.
David, have you had a crispy curly fry?
I think I've had some.
A crispy?
Wait.
So it doesn't bounce? Like,
oh, wait, yeah, it does bounce.
Yeah, you stupid fuck.
But they have some crunch to it, though.
Yes, it's got a crunch.
It's on the ends, maybe. On the ends.
It's
on
got
the ends
of the whole there's fucking time.
Dude, Nate.
What are we talking about?
Nate, I need a third opinion.
I'm going to lose my
where
shit.
The fuck,
Nate, go get curly
where
fries
the
right
fuck
now.
Is the McFry man coming in right now?
Because
I know it has bounce, but there's crisp to it.
I feel like I'm being
on
fucking
the
pranked
ends,
right now.
So, okay, that's what I like about it. The difference between mashed
potatoes.
We're
getting potatoes, fucking fries after this.
How do you not know you that mean? They have crisp? That they have
what
crisp
are you talking about?
There's a crunch to
they are soft.
Oh, my God. Are they soggy like your soggy fries is what you're saying right now?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
They're not soggy like your soggy fries.
They are soggy. They're by nature, they're soggy.
Nikki, you are going to get kidnapped by a fat bearded man.
David.
Nikki has no judgment.
You have no credibility
no
whatsoever.
Credibility.
What else do you like?
Leave us in a
Nikki
comment.
Nikki likes fries covered in water, apparently.
No.
Jesus.
No, oil is what makes them mushy, fries. You fucking idiot. You were just complaining about McDonald's not having enough of it.
No, I missed the animal.
Stupid.
No, I missed the animal products they used to put all over the fries,
part.
Whatever it was. Now they did some, we're making diet fries now. And I'm like, fuck you, McDonald's.
Because there's less
literally,
oil.
Literally, McDonald's could be like, hey,
holy
Steve, we want to pay you $1 million to do ad read. And I'd be like, fuck you and fuck your fries. That's what I'd say.
So McDonald's sponsor us, please.
Yeah.
Go to the Applebee's on Las Vegas.
I'm actually wearing a Pizza Hut jacket.
Yeah, because fuck McDonald's. Me. That's why.
Yo, you Thanks. Pizza Hut fucks with you, right?
Yeah, Pizza Hut and I are tight. I love Pizza Hut.
Well, how did you get hooked up with that so
they
randomly?
They randomly reached out and I was like, fuck yeah.
They need to have Filipino influencers, I guess.
You know what it is? I think I look too fucking Asian. I don't look I don't look racially ambiguous.
Why aren't you selling gold watches and shit, man?
Fucking like tutoring centers better hit me up right now,
right? Dude, you should be wearing suits and telling everybody about like how to accomplish their dreams and stuff. Like,
you just gotta put on some bronzers, some like tanners, and then people can't tell what you are. They're
I'm
like,
just too
are
fucking.
Too tan to
I'm
be
like,
Asian?
I feel like I found this like even during the whole acting phase, nobody knows where I belong
because
I look Asian as fuck, but I don't speak Asian as fuck.
Yeah.
And then even like the content that I talk about isn't typically Asian. It's not typically white American. So I'm kind of in this nebulous space.
Yeah.
So nobody knows where to put me.
That's the same thing I have. So the most embarrassing audition I've ever been on is that I look more Latina than Asian or half Filipino.
You know, I was looking at you the other day and you could actually be like a light-skinned Pakistani girl too.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
Or like a Kardashian, what are they, Armenian or, one of those. And then I actually modeled for Greece when I was younger.
What?
And yeah, I could pass for Greek. But the thing is that a lot of times, because we're in Los Angeles, so they want me to speak Spanish because I look Latina. And I mean to learn every year, but I'm just like, there's so many native Spanish speakers. Like, I'm not going to win the role just because I know a little bit of Spanish.
Mm.
But the most embarrassing audition was they, in the sides, they said, learn this in Spanish. So I did. And it was so bad.
What did you say?
It was, I don't even remember.
Como se llama?
It's always that
Como
shit.
Como se llama?
Yeah.
No, I did it just like how Google Translate told me to. And then I said it in front of
Gio. Oh, no, don't do Google Translate.
I didn't have a tutor. It was only a day preparation. And
but
so,
you know what? You look Latina
enough.
And
I did it in front of Steve, and he's like, I buy it.
Yeah, because she looks Latina as fuck, dude. I don't care.
And I just put an accent on it.
Out of all the people, Steve's like, perfect.
Dude, and out of all the people, I failed Spanish the most.
So
I failed Spanish three times.
I did it in front of Tiff and Gio, and they were like, oh, no.
Steve's like, fuck.
I'm like, choice.
They stopped me in the audition and they stopped and they're like, do you speak Spanish? I'm like, nope. And they're like, just do it in English.
Oh,
like,
my God.
I spent so much time on
this. I went to a fucking audition. This was the opposite. So it was for an animated film where they needed somebody to speak Korean. I fucking speak Korean. Now, mind you, if you ask me to speak Korean formally, it kind of is accented. But if you give me time with the lines, I'll make it sound Korean as fuck.
Yeah.
So because I could run it with my mom.
Yeah.
And so this bald white guy was like, so he goes, I don't know if that sounds like Korean enough. And I'm like, do you speak Korean? He goes, no. I was like, how would you know? And I said this in the audition. And he goes, oh, that's not what I meant. I was like, no. But you
He's would- like, hey, can you do me a favor? Can you grab your eyes and kind of stretch them no. for me? Because you're not quite Korean enough.
I was
enough.
Like, yo, Jesus, this is fucking dude. Funny, dude.
How can they say that? Was he white? Or
yeah, he was a white dude.
That's amazing.
Dude. I was like, yo, man. Like, I think I know what my language
so
sounds
weird.
Like.
That's yeah. so odd.
Maybe he thought because you have just such an American voice yeah. that like, oh, you must be, you must not really know.
Dude, I should
have
came with a fucking bowl cut.
You should have came in character.
Yeah, I should have came in fucking character. I should have done his fucking taxes.
You should have killed a chicken on the table in front of him. Fucking started plucking it on the ground.
I know. So you hungry?
Is this Korean enough?
I know. Okay. Start fucking slicing the throat of the chicken absolutely. And dumping it on his table.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, that's what know. We do in our country. Yeah,
I know. This is how you do it.
Bring a live duck you just strangled outside.
I know, dude. The audacity of that man. I remember sitting in, I wasn't mad. I was just kind of like, what a fucking dweeb.
Dude, that's how the CBS diversity showcase used to be.
Oh,
they
really?
Would have you come in and just do the most racist characterization of your race.
Yeah, they told me I wasn't ethnic enough.
It's amazing, dude. And so they'd have you, and they're like, hey,
I wrote
like,
a sketch about it.
That's so funny.
They're like,
funny.
Can you really go in deep? And like, they're like, hey, you're Mexican, right? You should be a food truck driver, or you should be like, I'm not even kidding. That's the kind
no,
of
they
shit
were,
they
were. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So the first year I auditioned for it, they were just like, put together three characters. So I did, and they were all like American characters because I didn't know that it was supposed to be like, oh, you're brown, so act brown, you know? Oh. So like, I just did like a valley girl character, whatever, and then like a some. I did like a depressed checking cashier that like every item she was checking out made her want to kill herself. And like I did like a couple characters I thought were really funny. And they didn't give me a call back. And then my manager at the time, who was a psycho, but like he asked the casting director like what happened. And she's like, oh yeah, it wasn't ethnic enough or whatever.
What?
Yeah, for the
diversity. I didn't know that was a prerequisite.
Yeah, me neither.
So have you tried on the TV lately? Because you watch Law & Order, SVU, or whatever the fuck it is. And they got, it's like literally if you're a Mexican guy on the show, you're like grilling hot dogs outside of a fucking club.
If you're brown, you got to act brown.
It's crazy.
And then we'll give you an opportunity on TV. And I'm like, but. Have you lived in America?
Right.
Because, like, we're all, like,
that's so fucking funny. You should have just had all fucking, like, Cholo and Chola characters. And
so then the next year I did. Loved it. Yep. So the next year I did Latino Wonder Woman. I did a Latino Wonder Woman character and just, like, how she would act if she was, like, all Chola. Uh-huh. Caught a call back and,
get
like,
the
got,
fuck
yeah.
out of
yeah.
it. It's like the magic elixir. Mm-hmm. Because that's what they want on TV is they want the most racist depiction of all those things.
And I'm not even Latina. Like, but I knew I couldn't do an Asian character. Or a Filipino or anything because I don't look Filipino enough. Mm-hmm. So I went with Latina and that's what they call me back.
That's
for.
Fucking crazy, that's amazing, dude. Yeah. I want to do the CBS showcase, but I'm gonna do everybody but my race.
Yeah.
Hey, what's up, fool?
People are so they're confused. Like,
they'll be offended.
They're gonna be so fucking offended. Chale, fool, what's up, eh? Fuck it, eh? Oh, that'd be dope.
Yeah, it would be.
I'm auditioning next year.
David. Let's go back to your journey.
Okay.
So, like, when you decided to make a movie, were you like, you said it was a stepping stone. So, did you always want to make movies, or were you just like, this was something you were fucking around with? And
oh,
then...
so it goes back to me being a spiteful human being.
Okay.
Hell yes.
So, I couldn't get an agency to sign me. Mm. They only wanted to sign me to their digital media shit. And that's not to no fault of theirs. Like, right. I completely understand where they're coming from because during this time, Vine people were popping off.
Mm.
And I just, you know, asked around and, you know, people who work in that industry, they're like, well, it's just because a lot of these Vine kids are coming in and they're not going to these auditions. They're demanding way too much. And they think that they should get the roles just because of they have a gajillion
following.
Vine followers.
Yeah.
There's only been like a few people who transferred from Vine that became really successful in the acting area.
Liza
Koshy.
King Batch.
King Batch. Yeah. And so, you know, they're killing it. They're talented, but they don't represent the other 4,000 fucks, right?
Mm.
And so these people were getting casted and or they were trying to get casted, but they would never show up to their auditions.
Mm.
They would have a bad attitude about everything. And so I was put into that area.
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh, so you, the fuck? Like, don't bunch me up with these fucking losers.
They slap a digital banner over you. They're like, everyone's the same.
And so I was like, okay, well, fuck it. I'm gonna make my own movie. You know, I was like, well, let's fucking do this. And so Justin brought this idea to me like even like 2 or 3 years back, and we just revisited it. And originally we were thinking about doing the story with because my parents owned a Black Beauty supply store, but then his parents had connects with shoes and stuff, so it was just a way easier fit. And then originally he thought about asking me to co-direct it, But I can't do it. I know that's the one thing that people don't do nowadays is when they don't know the limits of
strengths
their own
and weaknesses.
I'm like,
we talk about that all the time.
People are so dumb. They're like, yeah. I could direct this. No, you fucking can't.
Yeah.
No way could I have directed that movie at all. If I was sitting on set, I'm like, all right, guys. All right. that's it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't know what to say. I wouldn't know what to do. And I think he kind of knew that too. He was just kind of putting it out there to be a good friend. I'm like, you don't gotta pander to me, bro. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. I suck. Go do your thing, and I'll do what I'm good at.
It's what you're interested in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was never interested in being a director. Yeah. So if that's his path, and look at him, he's killing it right now. Like he has a film that he's working on right now with Macro. He just did another film that went to Sundance again.
Nice.
And so he's killing it right now.
Yeah,
it's
that's
his path.
Awesome.
And so when we did that film, it was just to say like, hey, you thought I couldn't act. You know. I can fucking act. Like,
yeah.
You give me a role, I'll fucking kill it. And so we did the film and it did well. And I felt kind of like some vindication. You know?
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
It was more like a fuck you,
yeah.
You know? So, and there's a lot of people too on YouTube that do like these short films and sketches and they're like, oh, I'm a filmmaker. You're not a filmmaker.
Dude,
you're not a filmmaker. I'm not a filmmaker.
Mm-hmm. Dude, people who fucking, they film sunsets and they have videos of them like crying, playing to melancholy music and they think they're filmmakers. I'm like, this shit is embarrassing.
Yeah.
I won't name names, but I remember this one YouTuber where this was like years ago, but he got kind of big doing challenges and like all that stuff in 2013. Like he was doing all the challenges and all that stuff. And then he's like, but I want to be taken seriously as a director. Oh. So he started vlogging, but he wouldn't call them vlogs. He would call them like movies, like life movies or whatever. And he would do them all artsy and like the thumbnails would just be a word. And like they did terribly and his channel like tanked. But he, in his mind, he was like, I'm a filmmaker.
How dare
you? And it was just regular vlogs. It wasn't even like he did some, like it wasn't Casey Neistat.
Yeah.
It wasn't like he was doing like something crazy. He just vlogged like a regular vlog, but he didn't want to call it that.
It's not a vlog. Vlog's a dirty word to this auteur.
He's like, I'm a filmmaker. And it's so funny. I just laugh because it's just
bag.
Like when people are
you?
So cocky. Because this guy was like pretty cocky too. Like it wasn't like he was a really humble dude. He's like, I'm going to try making mini films. Like, no, it was like, oh, they're not taking me seriously because I eat baby food all the time.
It's like Terrence Malick doing mukbang. You know, filming it with a fucking red.
That's so funny.
I just thought it was so funny.
While he's eating
so
a fucking,
funny.
You know,
it's the
Denny's
dumbest
meal.
Thing I've ever heard in my life.
It's nuts,
dude.
But
self-awareness is important.
Yeah,
is
self-awareness. I think, you know, that's why I stopped calling myself a comedian because I did stand up for 7 years and I was very big into comedy. Everything I did was comedy. It was sketch comedy when I was acting. I was auditioning for comedies. I was doing stand-up comedy. And then when I started doing vlogs and YouTube, I love doing vlogs and YouTube, but to me it's not comedy, like it's not comedy. So I stopped calling myself that, but now people think that I'm taking myself seriously when I do jokes.
Dude.
Like I'll say a joke and they think I'm so serious about it, or I'll troll, like I'll just go along with, like he'll talk about me like in crystals, and so I'll go along with it and heighten it, and people think I'm fucking dead serious.
They think that
because
she's a crazy
I don't
crystal
call
lady.
Myself a comedian anymore, even though I'm fucking joking.
I call myself a comic only on JK News just to piss people off. Because I'll be like, you know, as a comic, and then he's like, you're not a fucking comedian. I'm like, cool, I'm gonna just keep saying this.
Yeah, dude, that's my favorite thing too. I say all kinds of shit that I don't mean. It's so much fun.
It's so funny because like sometimes like I'll go on the JK News comments just to see if I could do something to make somebody mad. So like if you even go into the videos, I'll say the word comic every now and then just so I could see a comment that somebody says, David thinks he's so fucking funny. He thinks he's such a stand-up. I'm like, dude.
I love that.
So
see, I think that's it, is the comments affect me too much. That like, because I wish I could do that.
Yeah, I mean, I think it affected me like 7 years ago when we first started.
Yeah.
But after a while, it's like, who cares? So now I'm just like, so as a comic, you'll hear me say that. There was a period, I think almost a month straight, where I just kept saying, as a comic.
Oh, I love it.
And it's just a joke that I know and maybe Mariel knows.
Yeah.
So I'm just sitting there just like, dude.
I love that.
You're so dumb.
Dude, the people who try to light me up in the comments, they don't understand that it just makes me laugh out loud.
Yeah.
Like you could literally just be sitting in my silent house and then you'll hear me laugh out loud and I just read like, Steve Green's a dipshit or something.
Yeah.
I don't care. Like, I really don't care.
Dude,
it's
some
so
people,
fun.
They go so in depth. I remember this comment that somebody, so some of my followers know, and they know me now because they know me since I first started YouTube. So they know how much of an asshole I am. So some people will send me comments about other people writing bad comments about me, and I'll read it and it makes me laugh. Like, I show up late consistently. It's my thing. And so,
it's your brand.
I'm on brand. And so people said, this comment wrote, David shows up late because he's a narcissist. He doesn't care about anybody else's time. He respects himself way more than everybody else. I don't even understand why he has friends. And I just had to go out of my way to say, yep. And I wrote, yep. Period. Yeah. Nailed it.
Yeah.
And the guy just writes his whole diatribe. He goes, I knew you were a fucking narcissistic fuck. I'm like, wow. You know?
What you should have done is waited 30 minutes to post your comment, so you could have been late to post your comment.
Like, I would have wrote this comment earlier, but I was late to my own comment. See, I should have said that. That's so fucking good, dude.
Go back and do it.
I know, dude. It's too late now. Because I had to delete it because it started going crazy.
Oh.
Yeah, so
dude, I was trolling because on JK News, me and Josh, Josh killed me in a game of Mafia, one of my first games of Mafia. We played on JK Party. And after that, I started getting revenge on him in every game that I played that day. And I think for the next following two times that I was there. Yeah,
because they release over a period of weeks. Yeah. It seemed like you had like a really...
It seemed like I hated Josh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then I was in Bali with Nikki and they released some video. And then people are going like, wow, Steve's really racist and hates Josh. And like, obviously it's because Josh is black and Steve's white and Steve hates Josh.
I love when
black.
People make everything it's so funny. Race thing.
And they're like, he picks on Josh in every video. And I'm like, dude, I did it in 2 days. And like me and Josh are hugging after every video, like fucking laughing our asses off. But point being, I wrote like a reply and all I said was, I don't think you understand like that Josh betrayed me in Mafia, and for that reason, he has to go down forever. Like, it's not about race for me. It's about making Josh pay for what he fucking did. And he knows what he did. Like taking it seriously. Like, hitting it hard or whatever. Like, I fuck you back. I don't care.
Yeah. It's you know, whenever Josh is on there, every kid always makes it about race.
Every time. I know. It's so weird.
But they don't make it about the fact that Josh doesn't know how to play a single game ever.
It's so... Or
they don't make it about how Josh... maybe is a genius and knows how to play so well that he comes across like he doesn't know what he's doing while he makes master moves. Yeah. It's both.
Yo, I don't go on JK Party, but I'll watch a couple of videos just to see those comments. And I'm watching Josh and I'm like, I'm getting frustrated just watching him play.
It's amazing.
I could imagine me being so there funny. And then losing my shit. Yeah. You know, I'm like, do you even know how
that's
this
game? That's why I want you to be on JK Party.
Why won't you be on JK Party?
Because it's funny.
I don't know. Maybe
my dream to play a Mafia with
just
you.
Just come on Mafia one time.
You know, I actually introduced Mafia to the group.
Oh, what really?
Yeah. So, like, I introduced them a while back, and then it just became a really fun party game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how we were.
So I was always the moderator. So I used to love being the moderator. Got it. Just like a really fun thing to do.
Come and moderate.
Maybe we'll see.
David,
come on, David. It's gotta do fun. It.
Just one time.
Everybody does it.
Everybody wants me back on that shit.
I know you don't like people telling you what to do.
What's your thing about it? Well, why don't you do party?
I don't know. I guess like after a while, it stopped becoming fun. Mm. So like for me, like when something stops being fun, it just feels like I'm forced to do it now. Yeah. And so I'm like, and also too, because if I do party and I do news, that's 2 days out of my week.
Yeah.
So like it's kind of, you know, because you know, party's tiring.
Oh, yeah.
It drains a life force out of you.
Yeah.
So I'm like, because I at a certain point too, like because I was not doing my own things, I was just focusing everything on JK, which I didn't mind. It was fucking fun.
Yeah.
But after a while, I was like, okay, well, I can't do 2 days out of my week for stuff that I should be working on my own stuff for.
That makes sense.
And so, like, JK, I had to do one or the other. And I was like, I got to do JK News because JK News is fun to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I just stuck with JK News instead of JK Party. So, and if I did come on JK Party, I had to not do JK News because I needed that extra day.
Yeah. It makes sense because, like, every time I do both, I miss an upload that week because I can't edit it in time.
Yeah. It's just a lot of work. And I, at a certain point, too, I just started realizing that I wasn't spending any time with Muriel.
Right?
So I was like, oh, like I have to make room for my relationship too. It can't just be work.
That's the benefit of working together and like we just do everything together.
How do you guys do that though? Because I can't.
I love it.
I feel like some people just work. Yeah. Fucking click.
Yeah.
And
well, we have the same sense of humor, and I like to play straight man all the time, and he likes to be funny man, and we just
you guys know how to like respect each other's space really well too, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah,
I think that's like the hard part with a lot of like couples who work together. They kind of convolute work and relationship a lot. So
or they think like we don't need a date night since we spent all day together.
Yeah,
but like that's separate. You still need a date night if you're out there and you're listening and you worked with your partner. Your work is not your dates.
No,
you have to separate.
Yeah,
yeah.
There's something definitely like special about because I just moved in with Muriel. So
I know I'm so happy for you. That's congrats. Awesome.
Yeah, and so I assume that I was scared of moving in with her. So, because when we were apart, and mind you, like we She lived, I mean, she just lived all the way in the West Side, you know, and for
I
me.
I know when I met you, you said you'd never move in with her.
Yeah, I said never. I
was and like, you're like, and not by my choice. Like, I don't think she ever wants to live with me.
Yeah. And so when we finally moved in together, she was scared too. And, you know, things were good, but, you know, we would have arguments over the phone. And the problem when you communicate over something like that, you don't read body language. So, mm-hmm. So she couldn't tell when I was joking. And I'm joking 99% of the time.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of the times it was just a lot of miscommunication. But when we're sitting in front of each other and I say a joke, she could read my body language. She goes, oh, that's a joke. And I'm right. like, oh, shit, half our problems are solved right here.
Oh, my
just
God.
Just for her being in front of me.
That's so funny.
And so when we bicker about stuff, right, it goes blah, 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 blah. I'm sorry. Cool. Move on. And then it just moves on. I'm like, whoa, what the fuck is going on? So a lot of our problems was because we weren't spending enough time with each other.
Mm-hmm.
So we just didn't get to talk it out.
Oh.
So it's our relationship progressed like tenfold since we moved in together. And I was scared because everybody told me the opposite.
See, that's my philosophy, though. So my philosophy is when you move in with someone, it just speeds it up. If it's supposed to be that you guys are supposed to be together, it'll speed that up.
Mm.
And if it's like you guys aren't meant to be together, it'll speed the breakup up.
Yeah.
And people just usually get sped up towards the breakup. Mm. And so that's why people are like, oh, yeah, don't move in together.
You start just fucking skating like you're on Astroglide to the future, dude. Wherever yeah. it's going, like if you're going to hit a wall or if you guys are going up, like that's what happens.
Yeah.
I found out a lot of things about her that I didn't know that I liked.
Mm.
Even more stuff about
that's
her.
That's so like, nice. You never hear this shit.
Yeah. So like when I moved in with her, I didn't realize how accommodating of a person she is. So she knows for me, like I'm very, I'm a type of person when I like, even with my podcast, I go ham. You know, I go fucking balls through the wall. So when I start doing something like when we were moving into the apartment and I was just so busy because we have Senfus, I'm flying in and out and I couldn't get this apartment like furnished. I couldn't get a fucking couch in.
Mm.
I was getting frustrated because I wanted to get this done so I could start doing other things. But because it wasn't happening, and you know, she wanted to decorate her way and I want to do mine. She says, you know what? Forget it. You can just do it however you want.
Aww.
And so she just let me have that.
Oh, I would never let that happen.
Exactly.
Wow.
So she let me have that.
That's
and then,
awesome.
And then she says like, well, I just need a creative space. And so I just gave her a creative space. She has a bathroom that she could decorate and everything else.
Oh, so it's like the opposite of ours.
That is yeah. the opposite.
I think you just need someone that like strengths and weaknesses. Like, yeah, you know, yeah, where yeah. it's like, oh, you care about this. You can have that. I care yeah. about this. I can have this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So for her, she's very accommodating and she could see like sometimes like I get frustrated about a lot of stupid shit. Like, it's really dumb, you know, mm-hmm. where I get disappointed in myself.
Yeah.
But for her, she just tries to calm me down. She doesn't, like, poke at me. And then she just gets me to a place where I'm good. And she goes, you done? And I'm like, I'm done. And it's funny, too, because she found out, too, that when I'm angry, I'm never angry at her.
Me yeah. too.
So it's just about other shit around me. So she learned not to take things personal. Like, the other day, I came into the house just pissed off. I forgot what the fuck happened. Like, I'm over it. That's why I don't remember it. Mm-hmm. But something happened, and I'm mad and upset. And I'm just like, fucking cursing up a storm. But as I'm cursing up a storm, I'm making her lunch for work tomorrow. She's like, what are you doing? I'm making you lunch.
Yeah.
You know?
That happened to us like just like 3 days ago. Yeah. He angrily went and got me ranch from the Habit because, okay, so.
Well, that's not, that's out of context.
Yeah, okay, it is. Yeah.
So Nikki was like, I'm hungry. Are you hungry? And I was like, yes. So then she's like, okay, well, I'm going to order from Habit. I was like, that's perfect.
I was going to order Postmates. Like, I was going to Postmates some Habit.
And I was like, that's perfect. That sounds great. I can get a salad. That's cool. And then she's like, there's nowhere to add that I want ranch.
Yeah, because usually you can put a note, like, add ranch.
Yeah.
But and you couldn't add the
note. She doesn't want to get Habit if she can't have the fucking ranch.
I don't want to get the fries because the fries aren't worth it if you don't have the ranch.
Your soggy-ass fries.
Yeah, and but I was they're like, good with the ranch.
And I was like, then don't get fries. And she's like, but I want fries. But I want fries. And I was like, oh, right. Okay, my bad. All right, my bad. I was trying to fix it.
No, yeah. So then I was like, I'm just not going to order. I'm just going to wait till dinner time and we can get like Thai food. And
well, then, no, that's not what happened.
Yes.
So then 45 minutes goes by and then I'm expecting food to be coming. And then she's like, so yeah, are we going to
get Thai food?
Are we going to get Thai food? And I was like, I thought you already ordered Habit. And she's like, no, I didn't because I couldn't figure out the ranch thing. And so I was like, okay. I grabbed her phone.
So he looks for
it. And I tried to figure out where to add it.
Yeah.
And I couldn't figure out where the hell to add it. So I just tried ordering it. And then I was going to call in and be like,
yo, why did you order that? I said, you can't add the ranch. Why would you order that? I don't want it if I don't have the ranch.
After the order's in, I can call and be like, yo, add ranch to the back.
And I was like, I don't think you know how Postmates works, dumbass.
So then,
he's like I always sweet, do, you bitch.
When I am wrong, I am confidently wrong.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I was like, what the fuck ever? I'm going to fucking just call them and be like, yo, add ranch.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? I placed the order and then I couldn't cancel it and then I couldn't add ranch.
So like exactly what I told him would happen.
But I was like, what did I yell? I was like, I'm not going down for this one. I was like, I'm not going down today. I'm not.
And I was so chill. I was like, I'm not even hungry right now.
I'm like stomping around the house, looking for my keys, looking for my shoes and shit. I drove all the way to the fucking Habit. I asked for a ranch. And I drove all the way back
and
home.
He came and back and he beat the Postmates.
I beat
I'm
the
like,
Postmates
you could have just
guy.
Ordered the whole food order
And I
there.
Sat there for 15 minutes waiting for Postmates guy. But I got her that fucking ranch, didn't I?
But he was mad as fuck. He was stomping all over
you
the house.
You just walked into the Habit. Where's the fucking ranch? Yep. Why don't you have it? So you can have it. Who the fucking order?
But I didn't even go at him. I didn't even have a chance to get mad. No. I was just like, chill. I'm like, why'd you do that? And he's like, I'm going to fix it. And then he couldn't fix it. I'm like, you don't know what Postmates were.
Did I yell at you?
No, he was just yelling all over the place.
See, it has nothing to do with you. No. It's just everything else is fucking crumbling. That's why. And I just got to get my fucking rage out real quick.
Yeah. Here's what I saw. I saw a future where Postmates comes. There's no ranch in the bag. And then she's like, see, this is what I said was going to happen, and I don't even want to eat it at all. And then I have to sit there and guilty eat my fucking salad. I was like, it's just not going to happen today. I am going to fucking fix this shit and hook Steve up in the future so he doesn't have to go through this terrible situation.
It's so funny. Damn, dude, you and I are so similar because when Mariel and I first started going out, like I haven't been in a long-term relationship since Mariel. So everybody lasts like a couple weeks, a month or whatever.
Yeah.
And so.
So you've never lived with anyone else before?
Yo, right? So I've never had to deal with a girl's period ever because we would just meet up,
shit.
Date, fuck, whatever, move on. And during the period, she would never see me.
Whoa. So
this is the first time I had to deal with a period. So after a while, when we were going out, she would forget to bring, you know, pads or whatever, some shit. So I just bought them myself and I would put in my backpack. And people were right. And I remember I said it on JK News comment, like, oh my God, that's so sweet.
That is so sweet.
And I was like, well, I'm not trying to be sweet. I don't want to hear a fucking bitch about not having a fucking pad or a stupid fucking tampon and I'm trying to go somewhere. Like, I'm hungry and like, well, I got to do – no. I have it in my fucking backpack.
Either way, you're anticipating needs, David. You're ready to be a dad. Yep. He calls me his kid because I have so many needs and he has them all at the ready.
That's what I'm saying. I'm trying to prevent that argument and fight from happening.
Me too.
So it's like, you know what? If you're in a bad mood, bam. Like the other day, I sensed that her period was coming. What did I do? I went to Trader Joe's. I got some fucking dark chocolate. I said, boom, don't yell at me.
That's tight.
I left it there and I just fucking went away into the darkness.
That's beautiful, dude.
And I gave her space. I was
That's like the other
go.
Day, I was
you
so-
You trapping her.
Yeah. I was so full. I ate so much Mexican food for lunch. Ooh. And then Nikki comes in the room and she's like, yo, I need to come. I took care of that shit. But I didn't fuck her. But I took care of that.
But I did
That's
not
true.
Fuck
he
her.
Couldn't, he didn't have the stamina or the wherewithal to
I couldn't
in,
move my lower
physical,
body.
But his tongue could move.
Damn straight.
I'm surprised she didn't fucking barf in her pussy, dude.
Ew! David!
Mom, I told you should tune into the show. And, and this was a real good one.
For some reason, what I pictured was you just laying down and you just putting your hand over and playing the DJ. Just there you go. You ready yet? There you go.
If she was into finger shit, I would do that. But she's just not.
Well, you're not.
I
but
don't
you
like
do that for yourself, though.
I do. But I know exactly the spot, and I can take care of that in like 3 minutes.
Oh, it's the guy that doesn't
know
the clitoris as well.
And then I got to guide him, and I'm like, it's just frustrating.
But I know where
like,
it is.
No, it's just like, but there's certain spots and pressures, and like this,
I know,
you have to
I know
pressure
exactly
in a
where
certain
it is.
Spot.
I can show you.
Yeah. It's the speed bag above
yeah, you
the
know
cavern.
Exactly where it is.
Cavernous
David.
Hole.
I can point to
it's
it.
It's not you, it's me. Okay.
But
some girls just don't come, David. They can't.
It's impossible. Yeah. You know what? I just had a conversation about this with the friend. There's two sides to that. There's one girl that I know that has to come every time or she's upset.
Whoa.
When they're fucking.
She gets in a huff?
Like, upset. Like, she'll be genuinely upset at her partner if she doesn't come. Wow. Like, she has to. And there's the other one that's like, selfish. I know that I can't really come that easy. So I'm like, if it feels good, it feels good. And then if it happens,
that's
it happens.
Yeah, that's how I am. Then I just take care of myself after.
So is that normal? That's like the normal.
It's just whatever. It's preference, I think.
Mm.
Because, yeah, some girls just are used to coming during sex. And like if the partner knows that they come during sex and then they come early, then like it sucks for them. So, for me, I'm just like I enjoy sex no matter what. So like the orgasming part, we like to do that first. So he like goes down there and takes care of it. And then
he'll do the job first.
And then we have sex. Yeah.
Because if you do the guy's job, we're done. We're tapped out.
Right,
oh,
right,
fuck
exactly.
Yeah. No, she's not doing the job.
Yeah.
No, I started it. And then, yeah.
Yeah. We're pretty much
but
done.
I think it's about communication, you know? But this turned into a really good relationship talk.
Hell yeah.
But we're at the end of the podcast. And
nice.
I hope you learned that, you know, achieving your dreams isn't everything. It's the taking care of it afterwards, that the thing you don't think about. That you should always, you know, have like a plan, like what's your ultimate goal, you know, and just always have a goal in mind.
Just fail consistently and you'll never have to deal with
it. It truly is like that sign that's like, it's not the journey, it's not the destination, it's the journey.
Or just fail.
Yeah. I like that. Well, that's my strategy. I've been doing that. And no, your strategy is
eat shitty French fries. I think that's your strategy. I think if I learned one thing today.
Curly fries are crunchy.
Curly fries are not.
They are crunchy. Go to Jack in the Box sometime.
They're crunchy on the ends, but they're boingy. And
They're boingy, but the exterior is crusty, though.
That's what I'm saying.
It's only boingy because of the shape.
That's what a French fry is. It's fried on the outside, but I like the mushy on the inside.
Hey, Nikki,
not the ones that are completely crispy. You know what I'm talking about? They're like sticks, and you bite into them, and they're like sticks.
But a good fry is always crispy and then soft on the inside.
Hey,
that's
Nikki, big earrings bounce?
I like it very soft.
But they're still fucking hard.
I like them very soft on the inside.
It's like a Slinky's made out of metal, right? The metal's hard, but it's still
bounces.
Fuck you all. That's my final thought.
Best podcast ever.
That was pretty good.
Best. Subscribe to David or don't, whatever.
Yeah. No, go check out David at Genius Brain.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else you want to say about that?
Just Genius Brain podcast right now, and then you could check out all the food spots. Sip Matcha.
Yeah.
We have Eat Shrimp Daddy and the Chichi Dango.
And check out his movie Gook on Netflix.
Oh, yeah. It's still on there.
Yeah.
And go, please rate us well on iTunes. It helps out a
lot. It helps us a lot. Thanks.
Thanks. And check out Sticky Show. It's really fun every Thursday.
Okay, bye. Why didn't anyone tell me?
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
These days, you can't go anywhere on the internet without running into the most horrible takes.
You know, your good old-fashioned homophobes or your self-proclaimed alpha males who are writing two-page articles titled How to Score the Perfect Female in 10 Days.
If you are just as sick of these outdated takes as we are, you will love our podcast, Outspoken, hosted by me, Sam Collins, and my incredible partner, Shannon.
We are an LGBT couple who have seen it all, been called it all, and are ready to take on the never-ending world of outrageous online opinions.
Each week, we bring you the most ridiculous videos, hot takes, and hellbent news we come across on the internet.
So come laugh with us as we dismantle outdated ideologies and tear apart the most confident idiots on the internet on our podcast, Outspoken.
You can follow and listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, or wherever you are listening right now.